comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, where you matter. Now, some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome. We're glad to have you. And I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. And I got to tell you, you're in good company. There are folks in at least 95 countries that are joining with you ear to ear right now and listening to The Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is going to be Open Line Live. The telephone lines are not open yet, but they will be in just a little bit. We've got lots of important information to get to here tonight. And then we will open up the telephones, and I will take your calls. Let me remind you, or for those of you who are new, you don't know this, the main telephone number that we give out will work from anywhere on this planet. Okay, the toll-free number is toll-free only in the United States and Canada. And I wish it was toll-free worldwide, but I haven't found a service that can do that for me yet. I can, you know, they let us pick a few countries and then come up with a charge based on that. But, you know, I'm not going to pick a few countries. Their basic plan gives us United States and Canada. And at some point, when a telephone company goes into business that does, you know, a toll-free worldwide, then we'll sign up for it. But I haven't found it yet. But the main number will work from anywhere on the planet. And if you have Skype and you pay that little bit of extra, you can make telephone calls with Skype to a telephone. It's free Skype to Skype. But free to a telephone. So why don't we use Skype? Well, we've tried it. We've tried it in a lot of different configurations. And Skype is a real good idea, except when I answer a Skype call on the computer, it seizes the audio and it stops the broadcast audio. So I can hear the caller can hear me, and you can't hear anything. And we found absolutely no way to turn that off. It does that, and there's nothing I can do about it. But also, for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website and scroll down. You'll see where it says flash message. Just click that and send me a flash message. That'll work. Have you downloaded your ringtone yet? It's free. It was suggested by one of our members, and I want you to have it if you want it, okay, for your cell phone, for your mobile phone. You can have the theme music that plays at the beginning, you know, where they whisper, "You don't know why." That music is available to you as a ringtone on my website. You simply go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link to download the ringtone. And you can have it. It's absolutely free. We'd love for you to have it. And why not? Like I said, it's free. We'll be back right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, this is Open Line Live. We will open the telephone lines here in just a moment. At the moment, they are not open because we got a lot of stuff I need to get to first. Information you need, and one of those points is your communications with me. I want to thank you for each of you who send me email. Believe me, I check the email several times during the day. Now, the way it works, and look, I know most of you know this, but we have new listeners all the time that are not aware of this. I get up to, well, the record so far has been 590, I think it was 595 emails in 1 hour. Most of that is spam. Most of it is all kinds of nonsense and junk. And so we have very, very vigorous spam filters. And it goes through and knocks all that stuff out and leaves only the real stuff. But how can we do that? How can we know what's real? Well, our contact page, when you click contact on our website, there are several selections there. For instance, listener comment. So you have a comment about the show. You've got a comment about something a guest said or something I said. You agree, you disagree, or you got an additional thought about it. Whatever, you have a comment. So you click on listener comment. That page is designed, that form is specifically coded and designed to get you through the spam filters. Okay? Now, if you just were to send an email to one of our email addresses, you got about a 90% chance it won't get through. It'll get to our server, but our spam filters will eat it, and I'll never see it. Okay? So, and the reason for this is not because I don't want people to send me email. It's because I do. I want your email. I enjoy getting your email. I enjoy reading what you have to say. And as those of you who have been long-time listeners know, a great many of your emails send me in directions for research that where I come up with information that winds up in a show. Or you click on suggestion because there's a link that you are suggesting I look at, or there's a website you're suggesting I look at, or you suggest a guest for the show. You know that many, 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 many of those wind up as shows because I say all the time, you matter. This is one talk show. I'm not saying we're the only one, but this is one talk show where it's not about me. It's about you. You matter. And the things you're interested in, the things that you want us to do shows on, I try. I don't do them all. And sometimes it's because what you've suggested is interesting, but there's just, I can't find enough material when I research it. I just don't come up with enough stuff to do a show. Many of those wind up as shows. So use the contact page. That's how you get through to me, okay? Now, what sparked this was an email that I got directing me to a spelling mistake on one of our pages. Thank you. I appreciate it. Believe me, I do. And we've corrected that. But your email is very important to me. Believe me, I read every email that makes it to me. If you're sending me email and you're not using the contact page, chances are I haven't seen it. Chances are I never will see it because of those spam filters. Let me point your attention to Walter Bosley's book that he has so graciously allowed us to offer. It is called Latitude 33. He's been here on the show talking about that book before. It has to do with ley lines. It has to do with secret technology. It has to do with all kinds of really mysterious stuff that went into the building of one of America's most famous attractions. And so you want to avail yourself of that. It is available as an ebook, and so you'll want to avail yourself of that. It's on the website. Click. You'll see where it says Latitude 33. Just click the graphic. It'll take you to the right page. Jose Escamilla, folks, is going to be with us on Saturday in a video chat. That's in our members area. So you have to be a member in order to see that. Now, there are people, I know there are people that say, well, if you're going to charge, I'm just going to take my toys and go home. Okay. But try that down at the grocery store. If they're going to charge you for the groceries, you'll just go home? You can do that, but without the groceries. It's 23 cents, come on. Cost $1.38 for a cup of coffee. 23 cents a day for the members area. But anyway, that's going to happen on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. He's going to share with us several minutes. I think it's about 9 or 10 minutes of this movie that's in production. He's working on it now, called Luna. And so you folks will be the first audience to get to see this piece of Luna that he's working on. Members who can't log in. I first announced this last night. I announced it three times. And I will announce, this is last call for alcohol. I'll announce it again tonight. If you are a member and you suddenly are not able to log in, it is because moi was tinkering around in the database, streamlining some of the operations. It caused a handful, and I mean a handful, just a few, to not be able to log in. If you are one of those, go to the contact page and click on member support and send me an email, let me know, and I will send you the workaround, okay? It's very simple. Just a link you click, and it takes you a few seconds, and you're back in. But sorry about that. I take full responsibility for it. I did it. I have to admit, I don't know what it is that I did that caused it, but I know that it wasn't that way before, and now it is. And I was the one that was in the database, so I must have done it. So I take responsibility for it. Sorry, and I'll try to stay out of the database. All right. We have a new format for the show that we're going to test. I don't know. It's been suggested to me. Sounds like it would be all right. Sounds like it would be good. And I don't know. So we're going to test it pretty soon. Still have a few things to work out before we test it, but we're going to be testing it pretty soon. And we will want your feedback. We'll want to know whether you like it or not. Now, what we're going to do, it will be on a Saturday. And so we'll just want your feedback. It'll be a real show, but a different format. And we'll just want to know, did you like it? Do you like it better than what we're doing, etc.? And so I hope you'll participate in that. Now, let's talk about back in the members area. There are people who have, from a friend, received a link where they can just go register for an account in the members area without paying for it. Now, if you didn't get that link from me, that's called theft of services. And you need to know that we have already identified 62 of you. And what you need to do within the next 24 hours is go sign up and pay, or you need to cancel immediately your account in the members area. 24 hours from now, we will take the next step. And you won't like it. So let's just be clean and honest about this, okay? If you want to be in the members area, pony up 23 cents a day. If you don't want to be in the don't want to pony up 23 cents a day, don't be in the members area. Now, there are people that I've sent the link to, but I own the link. And they, for instance, people who won in our Halloween party, they won a year's membership or a 3-month membership. And I sent them the link. But if I didn't send it to you, you got it somewhere else, you're in the members area, and you're not paying 23 cents a day, that's called theft. And there are 62, as I say, 62 that I've identified. And before the hammer falls, do the right thing. All right? All right, now let's talk about Frankensteinish science. Again, those of you who have been with me for a long time know that all the way back when we first began, and I was broadcasting from Pristina, Kosovo, that's when I did the very first shows about Frankensteinish science. And I've done them a number of times over the 9 years that this show has been alive. Tonight, I will mention it again. In Great Britain, by Frankenstein science, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing something just because you can do it, not whether you should do it, but just because you can. And in the world of scientific technology, it has become possible to infuse genetic code, DNA, from humans into animals and cause those animals to develop certain human characteristics. Now, in Britain, the scientists want to know, how far can we go with this? How far can we push this? Well, could you push it far enough that you have a mouse that speaks? Yeah, you could. I mean, it's possible. How about dogs with a human hands or human feet? How about fish with a human face? All of that is genetically possible. And the British scientists want to know, the British Academy of Medical Sciences wants to know. They launched a study on Tuesday of this week to look into the use of animals containing human material in scientific research. And what they want to know is, how far will the public let them go? How far is too far? I have to admit to you that I think that if you grow human parts on an animal, you've gone too far. Now, one of the things they say, they always come to this, they say, yeah, but you know, for instance, pigs are really, really close to the human genome. And, you know, it might be possible for us to actually grow body parts in a pig that could then be transplanted into humans. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, I have news for you. They're already doing it. I personally knew a man. He's dead now, but he lived for many years after the operation, where they went into his heart and replaced a valve with a valve from a pig's heart. And he did just fine. He had medication, but he did just fine. And he lived for many years after that operation. I remember being with him in a restaurant one time, and he ordered, this was in Tennessee. And as a matter of fact, I think we were in Knoxville. And he ordered ham, country ham. And, of course, all of us that were in the group knew that he had had this surgery a couple of years earlier. And when they brought his plate, he looked down at his plate, he grabbed his chest, and he said, oh, my goodness. And we were instantly alert because we were afraid he was having a heart attack. And he grabs his chest, he says, oh, my goodness. Somebody said, what's the matter? What's the matter? And he said, I may be about to eat the pig that gave his life for me. Oh, my, my, my. Well, see, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that kind of science. But when you start infusing animals with human DNA and they are growing body parts, consider the very murky waters that you're getting into. Look, the courts are so murky on this, they can't even decide how to define what is a human. If we're talking about abortion in the United States, that's legal all the way up till the baby is born. They do what's called late-term abortions, where they actually go in and murder a viable human in the mother's womb. But they call that an abortion. They don't call it a murder. However, it's pretty interesting that Scott Peterson stood trial for the murder of his wife and his unborn son. So it would have been legal for a doctor to kill that son, but it was illegal for Scott Peterson to do it. You see how murky this is? It would have been legal. They would have called it an abortion. And the doctor could have killed that son. He could have murdered him, but they wouldn't call it that. They would call that an abortion. But when Scott Peterson stood trial, he stood trial for murdering his wife and unborn son. So the courts are so murky on this about what is even a human life, that once you start this kind of science, and you have a mouse that can speak, or you have a dog that has human hands or human feet, or you've got a bird that for some reason has a human face, does that creature now have rights under our Constitution or under British common law or under the constitutions of other countries? Does that creature now have rights? And if that creature has rights, how is it the unborn baby does not? Murky business. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live. We will talk about whatever you want to talk about. I wanted to bring this to your attention. Now, the telephone lines are open, and the telephone number, the main number, 623-444-5889. If you're calling internationally, its country code is 1. The toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 888-223-4599. And if you are not in the United States and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website. Click on the link that says flash message and send me a flash message. Now, I have referred to this kind of science as Jurassic Park science as well. You may remember some of the shows that I've done where I've talked about Jurassic Park science. And the reason I call it that is there's a line in the original Jurassic Park movie. There's a line where the scientist says, everyone was so excited, we were so busy wondering and talking about if we could, no one stopped to ask if we should. And so that's why I call it Jurassic Park science. It's also Frankenstein science. I call it that. Whenever you introduce human DNA into animals, it's curious. It may be fun to look at. You can put them in a freak show till the ACLU sues you and says, well, they're part human, therefore they have human rights. Now, you might say, well, now, wait a minute. They're only part human. Well, then the argument can and probably would be made that they are as human as people who are born with severe disabilities or severe handicaps. And those people have rights. Therefore, these things that have been created in the lab should be considered in that same category, and they have rights. Now, I can just envision what's coming. What's coming, then, is a whole new government bureaucracy that will set up testing of animals that are used for food. Okay? So you'll have to be able to test all of the chickens. All the chickens. Test every one of them to make sure there's no human DNA. Because you can't eat the eggs and you can't eat the chickens if there's any human DNA in them, because the ACLU will have, by that time, proved their case in court, and if they've got human DNA, they've got rights. Okay? They have freedom to cluck. They have freedom of chicken religion. They will have freedom to assemble in the hen house, or I guess anywhere else they want to. And that's another thing. You can't keep them in a hen house. That's slavery. And so, you know, you got to open the door and let them wander. You think I'm being ridiculous? Look at the world you freaking live in. This is the most ridiculous, mindless world you can imagine. Every imaginable, mindless, idiotic thing possible has gone to court. And courts have ruled idiotically on so many things. You think I'm making this up? How many things, those of you who have been watching this show, or you've been listening to this show since way back, how many things did I tell you about that you thought at the time when I said it, well, you know, he's being a little extreme there. He's kind of gone around the corner there a little bit. And today, it's exactly like I told you it would be. You think that my example with these chickens is nonsense? Just wait. You'll have to pay extra because there will be government bureaucrats. There will be a government agency. There will be government veterinarians overcharging the government millions and billions to do these tests to certify there's no human DNA in that animal. You think it can't happen? Let me tell you something. That day, if they push ahead with this part of science, that day will come. You won't be able to sit down and eat a steak without it having been certified as non-human. And then, what if, then, you find that some feedlot somewhere, some of the animals sort of slipped through the system, and they really did have human DNA, but they kind of slipped through the system, they made it to market, and you just ate part human. How do you feel about being a cannibal at that point? You think this is ridiculous. You think this is funny. You think this is just nuts. Well, see, I think this kind of science is nuts. There is no redeeming social value to this sort of science. None. Look, when you were born with an invisible guarantee stamped on your butt, and it said obsolete. It guarantees you're going to die. Now, none of us want to think about dying. I don't want to die today. I have faced situations where I thought I probably was dying. A couple of years ago, you remember when that happened, I thought I was dying. And I didn't want to go. I wasn't afraid of it, but what went through my mind was, look, I know I'm going to die someday, but not today. I'm too busy. you don't want to die. I don't want to die, but it's the only thing you came into this world guaranteed to do. You were not guaranteed to get an education. You were not guaranteed to get a job. You were not guaranteed that you would be rich or that you would be poor. You were not guaranteed that you would ever have a family of your own. You weren't guaranteed anything except one thing, and that is you're going to die. Harsh reality, but welcome to Earth. Everything that's alive on this planet has the same guarantee that it will die. There is an expiration date for you, for me, for all of us. Now, I don't know when that date is for me or for you, but I know we all have an expiration date. There are people who are scrambling hard, hot, fast, and furious against the idea of death. And a lot of those people wear lab coats. If what we're talking about is improving quality of life, fine. If what we're talking about is outracing death, so that we just grow all these parts in animals and, you know, you need a new hand, well, go get one from the dog. If that's what you're talking about, you're not talking about quality of life, you're talking about trying to outrun death. No matter what you do, you have an expiration date. And it's better to accept that fact and to understand that within the boundaries of what is normal, reasonable, and we'll debate what is reasonable if you like, but what is normal and reasonable within those boundaries, medical science can improve our lives, extend our lives somewhat, but there has to come a recognition somewhere in science that for each one of us, there is a day that is the last page in our book. For every one of us, there is a day that is our last day. It is normal. Consider what this planet would be if we did not have a built-in extermination date. I don't mean someone else exterminating us. I mean a day when we expire. If you didn't have a built-in expiration date, instead of having 7 billion people on this planet, we would have 100 billion people on this planet, all poor, starving, living at subsistence level like cavemen. Or we would have already reached the complete termination of the human race. The expiration date for our physical life, while not something we like to think about, when you think about it philosophically, it is necessary. It is the natural order of things. Every living thing, every plant and every animal, every microbe and bacteria, every virus, everything has an expiration date. We all die. Now, this kind of science goes into the laboratory with the idea that pretty much, you know, we can reach a point where we don't have to die. They won't admit that right now. Some of them will. Some of them will, but most of them won't admit that. That's what's behind Jurassic Park science. What I'd like to know, I'd like to hear from you, is whether you think it's okay to infuse animals with human DNA so that they start to grow human body parts, human characteristics, human traits. Is that a good thing? Is that okay with you? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, you've brought up some pretty interesting topics, if not, wow. I mean, gosh, where do you start with something like that, Kevin?
Well, you know, if you start thinking about the legal implications.
Uh-huh.
My story about the chickens is very, very plausible.
Well, you know, I see an army of lawyers just sitting there biting their lip waiting to get in on that one and get part of the action. I mean, they've destroyed everything else around us. Why not destroy the humans as well and make more money off of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything good in this except lawyers will make money, so it'll be good for their bank accounts.
Is it me, or are we stepping away from everything that we really know to be human? I mean, it seems like every direction that we're going in is just more pollution, more egos, more materialistic stuff over life, more trying to save life and Botox in the lips and stuff instead of aging a little bit naturally since we don't have the choice in a way. I mean, I understand taking care of yourself and different things and stuff, but it's like, where is this planet going?
This is a planet that's lost its mind.
God.
Overall, it has.
I guess I'll leave my point here. My point would be, and it starts with the fact that I do feel bad about it. I am a big hypocrite of what I'm going to say because I eat meat.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that I think is okay for animals is to eat them, even though I really philosophically probably don't agree with it. But I think that we're kind of primal down here. It's not like we can just, you know, I mean.
Bob, do you want to hang on? A break just took over. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Bob, are you still with me online?
Still with you.
All right. You were saying that it is okay to eat animals.
Well, I don't know if it really is okay. It's just I keep thinking about these aliens that are abducting people. You know, they don't let them move. They don't let them scream. They tell them all this stuff. They do what they want. They play with the body and throw it back on here, whether it lives or not or whatever it's done. And those aren't the kind of aliens that we want to be having contact with. We want the aliens out there that are good and respect butterflies and you know, we want the good ones that aren't going to just, like, screw with us. And so if we want all that and we don't want to be abducted and we don't want all these things happening to us, then, you know, it's funny that we expect all of these things, yet we act completely the opposite of what aliens, the kind of aliens we would want to meet. And I have to say something. I came home... I think it was yesterday. I came home yesterday, and somebody had given me a call, and they told me to come over, and because they had taken two photos of a UFO, and it's pretty close to my house, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" You know, whatever, I'll go look at it. You know, and so I was just like, "Okay, let's see what they got. What bird?" They got two really good ones of it, and they knew how to do the panning thing, and they were trying to get it next to a plane. But, you know, they observed it for a while, and then when they went around to try to get some more photos of it, the thing was just gone. And I looked at the photos, and they are genuine orbs. They're like, I saw an orb. And I started thinking, you know, this thing's moving real slow around where all this population is, and you don't hear any reports of it. I got photographic evidence, and I could tell you that there were thousands of people that would have been around if they had looked up in the sky, followed it, and taken a couple pictures, and it was pretty big. I mean, we're talking about the size of the damn moon. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, these things are just hovering around everywhere. And I happen to know, at least when it comes to the military, before they go in and do whatever it is they're going to do, they have the intelligence thing where they try to get all the information possible, gathering of intelligence before you go in and do something. And so I'm getting kind of worried because, you know, seven years ago when I started listening to the show, it was supposed to be for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, these topics are for fun. You can use your mind and the whole, you know, paranormal, almost gothic type thing and stuff. But the problem is it's all real, and these things are happening more and more, and it's almost like they're setting up surveillance. And, you know, if this is all picking up and you can just see a UFO over your own house, it never used to be this crazy. I'm wondering if there really is something inevitably big coming, and I find it very scary because they're already here, they're already all around, and now I've got friends that didn't believe that are taking photos of them. So I'll leave you with that. I'm kind of scared. I got them around my house now. You've got them around your house, whether you see them or not. And so if you haven't seen a UFO, you'll eventually see one because, you know, I'm at the point now where I don't want to see one. If I see one outside of my house, which I have once or twice at this point now, I jump in the door, I close it, and I don't want to know where they're from. I don't want them to touch me. And I'm an absolute wimp, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, well, a great many people in our audience are vegetarians. A great many people in our audience are not vegetarians. How would you feel if you found out you just ate a steak that was part human? I really think that this type of science is going too far. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. Look, can we invent, is it technically possible to invent a bomb that once you set it off, it will explode the atmosphere for the whole planet? Is that possible? Theoretically, I would have to say, I don't have any special knowledge of this, but I would say that theoretically, scientifically, there's probably some way to do that. Should we build that bomb? I think everyone in the audience would say, no, you should never build that bomb. That would be a case of science going too far. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I think that's the case with Frankenstein's science. I think that's the case with doing genetic alteration of species. Now, there are people who will say, well, when you take two different breeds of dog and you breed these dogs together and you come up with a new breed, that's doing genetic alteration. Well, that's letting nature do what nature will do. You don't know what you're going to get until nature does what nature's going to do. But when you take, and by the way, you're still within the canine family. So it's canine to canine. But when you take human DNA and you introduce it to a non-human species, you're creating something nature didn't. And what you're opening up there is you're opening up all kinds of social and legal problems that are not small, they're huge, and it's going to end up costing you trillions and trillions and trillions over the years because of the government agencies that are going to have to be formed as a result of lawsuits that are going to be filed in behalf of these part human creatures. Don't think it's not going to happen. Look, here in the United States, now it's this way in a lot of countries. Here in the United States, someone can file a lawsuit because it's Monday. We had a case where a woman buys a cup of coffee at McDonald's, spills it on herself, and sues McDonald's because it was hot. What did you freaking expect? Coffee is served hot. You order a cup of coffee, you have ordered something hot. Okay? Unless you specify, I want iced coffee. Now, that's generally accepted knowledge. Now, when you go into McDonald's, because of that lawsuit, they had to change all of their coffee cups. All their coffee cups now have printed on it that this cup contains a hot beverage. They had to pay to get all of their cups redone because of that lawsuit. You think someone won't file a lawsuit in behalf of Susie Chicken? You bet they will. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, Kevin.
Hey, Brent.
Hey. I took a class in atomic bomb theory several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I just raised this question. Weapons-grade plutonium is not a naturally occurring element.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to think 1,000 years down the line when they find all this weapons-grade plutonium? They would think it's naturally occurring.
Okay.
Now, this is slightly off topic, but it gets back to the point. You get all these women out there get breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do when they dig them up and see all this silicon in there?
You know, if they're as nutty about archaeology then as we are now, they will say it was some sort of strange religious rite. Everything that archaeologists can't explain because it doesn't fit their mold, they say it had something to do with the strange religion these people had.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, if they start genetically modifying on down the line, they're not going to know what's real and what's not.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, once you start doing a genetic modification of species, cross-species modification, you start doing that, then there is no longer a definition for what is human.
That's true.
And you know, it's the end of the human race.
Yep, we'll just be another...
Just another farm animal.
Yep.
Yep. All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Now, I've received a message here that says, we're unable to get you on the internet. Is something wrong? Let me know. The answer is no, there's nothing wrong. We're broadcasting and people are hearing us. All right, we'll be back right after this break. It's Open Line Live. I brought something to the table that I think is important and I think deserves discussion. But if you would like to talk about another topic, all you have to do is call our telephone numbers and tell us what you want to talk about. We'll talk about it. 623-444-5889 is the main number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You were talking about those weapons that could ignite the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Those weapons do exist, and they've been probably Russia's got them now. The United States has got them. China's got them. They're called scalar weapons, and they actually, when they fire them, it actually sets the atmosphere on fire.
And yeah, but does it set the whole atmosphere, the whole planet on fire?
Well, it could if they didn't put it out, but they also developed a weapon that can sort of box it in and neutralize it so that it can only burn a certain area, or they could just let it go. And another thing, too, is a neutron bomb, you know, when it's exploded, it doesn't do a lot of physical damage, but it just sucks the oxygen right out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So they have at least two weapons that I know of that can do that. And these scalar weapons are small enough that they can carry them on a belt.
Well,
battle.
See, I think that falls under the category of just because we could doesn't mean we should.
Right, exactly. But when one of them developed it, and I think the Chinese may have been one of the first ones to develop it back in the 70s, then everybody started developing it.
Well, I tell you what, the Chinese are smart people.
Yes, they are. They most definitely are.
Yep. All right, Michael, thanks for the call.
Okay, have a good night.
You bet. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I will read it here on the air, and we will talk about it. Speaking of, we have Rob in Australia who has sent me a flash message, and he says there seems to be an increase in comets hitting the atmosphere lately. Could Nibiru or Planet X be a large asteroid heading our way? Provided that the stories that we hear about Nibiru or Planet X, provided they're accurate, the answer to that would be no. Two things I've heard about Nibiru is that it is a planet, and the other thing that I've heard is that it is a planet in orbit around a brown dwarf. And as the brown dwarf moves towards us, it gets close enough that the orbit of Nibiru comes through the orbital planes of the planets around our sun. However, we are pretty much in orbit like this around the sun, and Nibiru would be coming from what we would call south to north around the sun. Now, if those accounts are correct, then what that means is it's not a comet or an asteroid. It is possible that if there is such an incoming planet, that it would be pushing asteroids and comets in front of it, pushing them out of its way. Some of them. Some of them may be getting sucked into it, but its forces could be pushing some of those out of their orbits and toward us. That's a possibility. All right, thanks, Rob, for the flash message, and invite others from around the world to send me a flash message if you wish to have us talk about your topic. Now, on Nibiru, all of the astronomers that I know anything about, and a lot of these astronomers are even amateur astronomers. By amateur, that doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. It just means they're not on somebody's payroll. Are all saying they have seen absolutely nothing to indicate that there is a Planet X or a Nibiru. Some of the NASA scientists have talked about the possibility that there is a Planet X out there. They're basing that on some data they have, not on any optical observations of it, so far as we know. So, is it out there? I don't know. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Ken calling from Washington.
Hi, Ken. It's been a long time since you called us.
Yeah, sure has. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing fine. I recognize your voice.
Same here. I think you came up with something absolutely brilliant tonight without even realizing it, with your Susie Chicken concept.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I think you could ultimately be responsible for saving us from those aliens, human-eating aliens. Hear me out for a second.
Okay.
You know, you're talking about taking chickens. Let's say we take a clucker embryo from, borrow one from the kernel.
All right.
And we combine some human DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make it into a real Susie Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't stop there. as I was just reading, there are some Canadian scientists, perhaps you read about this recently, I'm reading it right now, he said, after years spent hunting for buried remains of prehistoric animals, a Canadian paleontologist plans to manipulate chicken embryos so we can create a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we then take one of these human chickens, turn on, he's saying all he has to do is tweak 7 genetic switches during the embryo's development, and then he can reproduce a dinosaur. So we take this human dino chicken, and now when those aliens abduct us, and they think they're getting a real human being, you know, they're going to bite into it, and they're going to go, this tastes like chicken, you know. And then they'll soon realize they're eating one of their ancestors, and they're going to finally leave us alone. I mean, it's a silly little thing, but it shows you how crazy all of this is.
It really is crazy. It's nuts. And, yeah. And you know, if you think, really, you think about all the stuff that not just the ACLU, they are included, but all the lawyers, just all the nonsense lawsuits that they've brought over just the past 10 years, it's not at all implausible that we could see a case that asserts the constitutional rights of a chicken man.
I think it's not only possible, I think it'll probably happen, and I think we'll be so dumbed down by then it probably won't even make the evening news.
Yeah, and see, you'll be considered to be, instead of a homophobe, you'll be a chicken phobe, because you don't want to live next door to a family of chicken people.
But
and the reason is there's feathers everywhere.
There's feathers, and if the Canadian scientists have their way, the feathers will be converted into, I guess, claws and long tails.
And, and you're just not politically correct if you don't want to live next door to that.
I appreciate that.
Ken, thanks for the call. Quite interesting. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Brian from Burnaby, Kevin.
Hello, Brian.
I'd like to tell you about sort of the opposite thing that happened here. Was we in the Vancouver Health Region, they have a very great shortage of MRI machines, and at night, the veterinarians were bringing pets in to have the MRI machines go over them, and it wasn't because there weren't humans on the waiting list. The health authority justified it by saying, well, the veterinarians are paying money so that the hospital is generating income from all these pets being surveyed. And the humans, obviously, on the waiting list for the MRI said, well, couldn't we at least have the rights of animals? So I just thought you'd get a chuckle that these things can actually work in reverse.
Well, and that's a great story for those who want this current version of national health care down here. You may be in line behind a rat, and you have to wait because the rat can pay.
I'm not sure what I think there was a lawsuit pending on that. I'm not sure what's happened to it yet, but as far as I know, they still may be carrying on that practice, generating, because the veterinary people are not licensed to do the assessment for humans, so you have to have specially trained people to run the machine for humans. But apparently, it works just fine for the when the human machine operators go off shift, that the animal machine operators come in and assess the pets.
And then in the morning, somebody's pet pig has been through there, and in the morning you go through there and you get swine flu.
Well, I'm sure they use a great deal of autoclave on those.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call. Good information. All right, 623-444-5889. You may think that I have lost my mind when I'm talking about what's coming with this kind of science. If they proceed with this, I'll tell you for sure what's coming. What's coming is, number one, rights for those hybrids. Layers and layers of government agencies, bureaucrats, more layers of corruption and fraud, and you're going to pay for it. That for sure is going to happen. If this proceeds, eventually, and I'm not talking 10 years down the road either, eventually someone's going to file a lawsuit asserting the human rights of those things created in the lab. At that point, you're going to get layers and layers and layers of more government. Now, see, I contend people have exactly the government they deserve. Maybe not what you want, but you have exactly the level of government you deserve. To the extent that we are too dumbed down, to the extent that we're too stupid to handle our own affairs, we expect and then we accept more layers of government to handle it for us. So that will happen. There's no question. You may think I'm crazy now, but we'll revisit this a few years from now if they proceed with this kind of science. We'll revisit this, and I will say then, remember when I told you? You thought I was nuts? Well, here we are. You watch, it'll happen. I've seen that happen on several issues that I've told you about over the years. You've seen it happen too. You've known, you thought I was nutty whenever I told you about something. And sure enough, it happened. It happened. Now, when you start mixing human DNA with animal DNA, you know what else you open up? Not just all those legal problems that I talked about, not just all those social, sociological problems that I talked about, all those tremendous taxes that are going to be laid on you for those government agencies to govern all of that. Not only that, once you start mixing human DNA with animals, you've built a bridge for diseases to easily cross between the species. Right now, human diseases are not so easily transferred to animals, most of them. Right now, animal diseases are not so easily transferred to humans, most of them. Some of them are, but most of them. Most situations, when an animal is ill, you don't really have any risk of catching the disease. Once you cross this bridge, once the scientists take us across this bridge, they will have built a bridge for diseases to cross easily. You think we've got problems now? You think that SARS and Ebola and pig fever, swine flu, you think these are big problems now? Just wait. We have a word that they're using for the swine flu. They are using the word officially, pandemic. Well, they will have to invent a new word beyond pandemic. Maybe planetdemic. To describe what's going to happen to diseases when they have enough human DNA infused into animals that those little critters, those little bugs, those little bacteria and viri can read the DNA code, and there's a substantial enough amount of it that they can mutate and cross that bridge. You think pandemic is bad, wait till that day, and there will be nothing to stop it. Now, speaking of pandemics and swine flu, you know, this is a weird thing, this swine flu. It's weird. For most people, it's not very severe when they get it. But for some people, it is very severe. And it causes death. Vaccines have been developed. Not tested properly, but developed. Legislation has been passed that says these vaccine manufacturers are immune from prosecution and lawsuits. So if you take a swine flu shot and you have a reaction that causes death or causes some tremendous disability, which it has done, you can't even sue the manufacturer. They are protected. They have immunity. Interestingly, some very high government officials are stockholders in those companies. Are you aware of that fact? You might be surprised who. I won't get into that because that's really not part of the show, other than to tell you there are some surprising names that are stockholders in the companies that are building these vaccines, and they are exempt from prosecution or lawsuits. There's something going on in the Ukraine. I told you about it the day it started. The day it started, I told you how people were calling the newspapers and radio stations in the Ukraine. They were frantic because there were small airplanes flying over their area, spraying something in the air. They wanted to know, what is that? Shopkeepers were told to stay inside that day. They were told not to go out on the street that day. The Ukrainian government has denied that there was anything being sprayed. There is a pandemic for sure in the Ukraine, and what's being reported, the last report that I saw is that 1.3 million people are infected. The people that die from it, whatever it is, the autopsies have shown, well, first of all, the conditions of the people as they die, the internal temperature in the lungs is 135 degrees Fahrenheit. The autopsies show the lungs have turned to a black mush. What is it? What's happening? Again, the Ukrainian government has denied that there was any spraying, and yet thousands of people saw it. Is there a connection between the spraying and what's the health problems that they now are having in the Ukraine? Is there a connection? Is that connection causal, or was it responsive? In other words, did it cause what's happening, or was it a response, an attempt to try and inoculate large populations? Right now, it's being clamped down. No one in the news media is talking about it. Nobody is admitting that it happened. But a few reports are getting out. A few reports are getting out. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Yeah, we're talking about... I just started listening to the show, and I hear you talking about the Ukraine and the spraying that went on there. A lot of people are thinking... And, you know, it's kind of coincidental that these people started coming down with this bubonic plague just right after the spraying started.
Yeah, but we still don't know. I mean, that doesn't prove that the spray caused it. It could be.
No, but I don't believe in coincidences either.
No, but it could be. It just could be that it is that they were spraying something to try and head off a pandemic. That's a possibility.
Well, you see, there's a whole bunch of things happening all at once. You know, this is although this is kind of stuff we talk. You know, we don't bring up very often on the Kevin Smith Show or other radio shows. I like to talk about these kind of things, but you know,
that's why this one's number one
is very prevalent in my mind right now, considering all the things that are happening, and they all seem to be happening all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. Like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. And, yeah, I think this whole virus thing that a lot of the quote-unquote conspiracy theorists have been, you know, warning people about for a long time, I think it's happening. I think this is all part of Agenda 21.
Are you familiar with Agatha Christie?
Yeah, I know the name, yeah.
Agatha Christie is a great mystery writer. And she is the one who gave us Detective Hercule Poirot. She wrote a mystery novel called Evil Under the Sun. And it gets its name from this. There are a bunch of murders at a resort, a seaside resort. And the detective is standing sort of on a ledge looking out over the beach and the ocean. And he says, "The sun is shining, and yet everywhere there is evil under the sun." Kevin, I have to go to break. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Kevin, you still online with me?
Well, I'm not all there, but I'm still here.
All righty. You know, Kevin, this thing in the Ukraine, I talked about it the day that it started. And it was not being picked up by major media. Major media still isn't reporting on this. But at this point, there are 1,300,000 people that have been infected with whatever this is. The reports that are coming out are saying it is a biological warfare weapon that has been unleashed on them. Not necessarily knowingly, on purpose, but unleashed. It got out of the lab. So that's what the reports are saying at this point.
Well, the reports that I've been reading, you know, some of the mainstream, some of the mainstream media has picked up on it, actually. And they're calling it falsely. They're calling it strain of the H1N1, which it has no characteristics of the H1N1 at all whatsoever. If anything, this thing has the characteristics of the pneumonic plague.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it's been showing. Considering how quickly some people have been dying because of this, and you know, and it's been spreading too. On top of it, you know, I don't want to be a fearmonger. I'm just trying to tell things like they are.
Well, let me tell you this. I did a little research on it, and here's what I found out.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that back during the Soviet times, the Soviet scientists were working on pneumonic plague. And here's the deal. Although pneumonic plague, not bubonic, but pneumonic, spreads through the air, when the virus is exposed to oxygen and sunlight, it dies pretty quickly, so it doesn't normally spread very rapidly. What they were working on was to genetically mutate pneumonic virus, the virus that causes the pneumonic plague. They were trying to genetically mutate it so that it could withstand the oxygen and the sunlight that normally kills it, therefore giving it long life and rapid spread. The scientist that developed it, that actually succeeded, was the one that was talking in the documentary I watched. And he said that it had been done. That is what this sounds like. I don't know that it's what it is, but it is. It sounds like it.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was deliberately released, honestly. And speaking of oxygenation, you know, I heard Dr. Atruot, I'm sure you've heard of him before.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Atruot was, I think it was on another radio show. He said on that radio show that oxygenation will actually kill any virus.
Well, except this one.
Yeah, apparently.
This one was genetically altered to survive oxygen.
And if you remember back in 1997, they went up into the Arctic and they went and dug up some of the bodies from the Spanish flu,
mm-hmm.
from the 1918 Spanish flu. They went and dug them up. And I seem to remember also from another radio show, this caller, Mary from New York, had called into the Power Hour. And she was talking about, I think it was her husband who was trucking bird flu viruses all across the country, and that, you know, he was doing it in secret. And they were bringing it all over the country, and apparently the locations where he brought these viruses, that's what she was told was the bird flu. But these areas that were also the same areas in the United States where the swine flu all of a sudden just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, you know, the swine flu, this H1N1, is partially avian flu.
Yeah, it is. It's partially avian flu, and it's got strains of the human flu in it also,
mm-hmm.
which also Dr. Leonard Horowitz and others have flat out stated there's no possible way that these viruses could have been combined in such a fashion in nature. This was obviously fashioned in a lab, and I honestly think it has been deliberately released. And you also got to think, like, look at the whole picture here. Look at the rush to all these vaccinations that have been going on since the start of this thing. The rush to market these vaccinations, which have been untested, they're full of toxins to begin with, and they're trying to push these vaccines on people. And even in some states now, they're making it mandatory for people to have these vaccinations, which I think is flat out ridiculous and a violation of freedom. But
violating our constitutional rights has become an everyday affair here.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
Some states, they flat out stated right there that they're going to have the military have roadblocks, and they're going to force people to either take these vaccinations or they're going to be sent to a quarantine camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's flat out ridiculous. That's a violation of Pacta Comitatus. That's a violation of.
Well, let me tell you what else it is. I have right here in my hands a report from health experts that have been looking at the swine flu situation over in China. And in China, they used quarantine, very vigorous quarantine measures. If an airplane landed and you were trying to come into China, they checked everyone. They checked the temperatures for everybody before they let you in. If anybody there had swine flu, the entire plane load was put into quarantine. Everybody. Okay? Now, this report says that that practice of quarantine did not have any effect on stopping the spread of swine flu. So what they're saying, and this is from the world's the World Health Organization, and I'm a little bit surprised that they would say this. You would think the WHO would be all for let's round people up and put them in camps, but Dr. Michael O'Leary of WHO, he's their top representative in China, says that there has been a dramatic spike in Chinese swine flu cases recently, and those reported by the government are only minimum numbers. This spike in the swine flu is despite the fact that they've been quarantining people. So quarantine camps, there's your evidence right there. Quarantine areas, quarantine camps, have no effect on the spread of swine flu. It only has an effect upon your compliance to laws that violate your constitutional rights. That's all. Hey, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right, Kev. Have a good night.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. I've got some flash messages in. Let's turn to the flash message board over here. We'll take this, and then, caller, you'll be up next. This is from John in the United Kingdom. Do you think that if there's another living planet out there, could it be hostile, or could the inhabitants be meat eaters? Sorry about the bad spelling. It was a quick email. Yeah, it could be. We're meat eaters. Not everyone here chooses to eat meat, but humans are meat eaters. And so if there's another planet out there with inhabitants on it, perhaps there are meat eaters out there. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jerry. Kevin, I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Jerry.
I was just listening, very interested with this thing going on over in Ukraine. I've come across information that might be interesting for everyone, right. So I thought I would pass it on to you.
Okay.
You remember back earlier this year, Baxter International Pharmaceuticals sent 72 kilos of human influenza H3N2 vaccine to 16 labs in Europe that they later found out contained live H5N1 bird flu virus. And it was only discovered when a Czechoslovakian lab tested the material, and of course the material was infected. It was tainted. Baxter said it was human error. In mid-August, Joseph Moshi, who's a thought biological warfare expert, called into Dr. Truott's radio program. And during that time, he reported that Baxter was getting ready to release a deadly plague from its Ukrainian lab, and that he was shortly meeting with U.S. attorneys in Los Angeles to give evidence about this. And it was just right after that he was apprehended by federal agents and L.A. police and taken to the Israeli consulate, and that's the last anyone's heard from him. That was back in August.
I watched the video of that apprehension. It was overwhelming use of uncalled-for violence against this man. They fired four canisters of tear gas into his car. They tasered him. He was taken down by a SWAT team, and all he was doing, he was unarmed, all he was doing was trying to drive actually to the Israeli embassy. When he got surrounded, and they did this to him, and nobody knows what's happened to him. You're exactly right. The video of that is on the internet. You can watch it. That actually did happen, and it was the FBI.
Yeah, and it certainly is a scary thought when you consider that if he's correct and what they're doing, whoever they may be, that they use that as a testing ground. Why there, and what were they testing it in preparation for? It just has a lot of questions associated with it, but I thought that information might be interesting for you and for your listeners, so I figured I would just take a moment and call it in.
All right, thanks for the call. It is interesting, ominous as well. This is stuff that really is going on, folks. This is not conspiracy theory central here. There's not a theory about this. It's happening. There's no theory here. This is happening. As I speak to you, as you listen at this moment, what we're telling you about happening in the Ukraine is actually happening. Do you know where the Ukraine is? I don't know why we say the Ukraine. It's Ukraina is the name of the country. People from there you refer to as Ukrainians. Ukraina. Northeast side of Romania. So this is not, this is not theory. There's no conspiracy theory going on here. These are facts. This is happening. here on good old planet Earth. It's an insane planet. The inmates are running the asylum. It's insane what's going on this planet. And the insanity is pervasive. Now, is it hopeless? Well, you know, I guess we'll see. I hope it isn't. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about weird stuff happening in science around the world, and we've got some flash messages we're trying to get to. The telephone lines are open. Here's one from Patrick in Australia. G'day, Kevin. Here's the thing. I'm really interested to know what your listeners think will happen after we die, especially those with an understanding into the whole alien intervention genre. To me, survival of the fittest is of paramount importance. So much money that could be spent on improving the lives of the healthy poor is spent on the maintenance of the wealthy. Although never having had to face my own mortality seriously, I fully understand why some people would say, let the researchers and scientists reign. Myself, I look forward to death. It is inevitable, after all, and only then will we know. Are we like those people from medieval Europe staring into the universe without understanding? Cheers, Patrick. Good observation. I can't say that I look forward to my death, Patrick. I don't. Every time I lay down to go to sleep, I fully hope and expect that I will wake up in the morning. But I don't fear my death. I know that it's coming. Sooner or later, it's coming. It's guaranteed. It's 100% guaranteed. So is yours. Everybody. There are some things that are worse than death. I think devolving into something, and I said devolving into something that is less than human, certainly would be worse for all of us than death. I would not find that it would be an improvement in the human race for us to be hybridized with the animals. I saw read an interesting paper by a researcher about chimps and humans. They are very, very, very closely related to us genetically. And yet, the 2% difference in our genetics means they can't speak. They can't do higher forms of thinking as we do. And there are just a number of things they can't do. They can't walk like we walk, etc. And this researcher said that it cannot be, we're so close genetically that it cannot just be genetics. That there's something else involved. Well, I think that's true. I think it's not just genetics. But whenever you take human genetics and you hybridize an animal with human DNA, whatever it is you have created is less than human, but you will see the lawsuits that say it's enough human that it deserves human rights. So there you've got something that deserves human rights and will get them. Layers and layers of bureaucracy and extra government, massive taxes, just because nobody was willing to say to the scientists, sit down and shut up. What's the matter with you guys? That's nuts to even go down that road. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And what you're going to have, increasingly, you will have animals that have more and more and more human DNA till you get to a point where they look almost human. But that something that is not genetics, that separates us from the chimps, that something will be missing from these creatures. I'm persuaded that that something is the thing that tells us cannibalism is not right. That something is involved with what tells us that murdering someone is not right. That sense that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, I think will be missing from these creatures. Unfortunately, it seems to be missing from some humans these days, a sense of what is right and what is wrong. If you compare the laws in the United States of America to the laws in Iran, you will find vast, vast, vast universes of difference. Some things are the same, but you will find vast universes of difference between the laws in Iran and the laws in the United States of America. But you will find in Iran that murder is illegal. They consider it wrong. Same thing here in the United States. We consider it wrong. And wherever you are, wherever you're seated right now on this planet, murder is considered wrong. What is it that has made that universal? Is it just genetics? I don't think so. I think this researcher was exactly right. There is something about us that cannot be explained genetically that is different. And that something is whatever it is that makes us what we call human. And I think that by proceeding with this Jurassic Park Frankensteinish science, if it proceeds, you're going to see progressively more and more and more human DNA being introduced to animals. Now, how do I justify saying that? Because that's what this debate is all about. It's not about introducing DNA into animals, human DNA into animals. They're already doing that. It's about how much further can we go. And this will continue to proceed further. See, this debate is only about how much can we increase the DNA that we're introducing to those animals. That's what this debate's about. And I told you this debate would happen. I told you this in 2000. In 2000, I did a show about this. In 2001, I did a show about this. And I told you then, it's going to progress. They're going to push for more and more and more human DNA being introduced into animals. Well, here we are. And I'm telling you now, it will not stop with this debate. I'm telling you now that they will continue to push forward and continue introducing more and more human DNA into animals. And you're going to reach a point where you have these creatures that look pretty human, maybe even look just like us. But they'll be missing the something that isn't genetic, that provides the boundaries that are formed by what we say is right and what we say is wrong. Universally, throughout the entire world, it is considered wrong to murder. Universally, throughout the entire world, in every culture, from the most primitive to the most advanced, it is considered wrong to steal. And there are a few other things that are considered wrong. And they're universal. And why is that? Because there's something beyond the genetics. All the animals are getting is the genetics. They won't have those boundaries. Makes for kind of a perfect soldier, doesn't it? My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long everybody.